Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Royals podcast, supported by our friends at Blue Collar Street Food. And we've come to our final game of a very up and down year, 2020. We'll talk about that. To join me today, we're going to discuss the Swansea game. We had a 0-0 draw away at Swansea today. We're joined by Alex. Hello, Alex.
Evening, Eric.
And we're joined by Matt. Hello, Matt.
Evening, Eric. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Yeah, it was a bit of a drab affair almost at times, although there were a fair few chances. We'll get on to the game, but I think a 0-0 draw, which is probably a fair result, Alex. What do you think?
Yeah, Swansea had a lot of chances, certainly, and Raphael had an excellent game, kept us in it. We had a couple of good chances ourselves, and it's difficult to say that we should have got on to win the game, but certainly a point doesn't seem like a hugely unfair result given the way we played, and definitely very happy with the point.
Yeah, also worth pointing out, before the game we looked at the record against Swansea, Matt, and we've not had a lot of success against Swansea. How are you feeling before the game?
Yeah, no, I think saying that we've not had a lot of success is putting it quite kindly, I think. Many bad memories against them, spanning back quite a few years. But yeah, no, it was, you know, you always hope it's going to be the year to that you break that chain. But yeah, no, with the injuries, you know, we still had, you know, we heard obviously news of, Zhao missing out or not travelling. And the minute you heard that, you started thinking, oh God, if we can get a draw, I'd be very happy. You know, a 0-0, nil-nil clean sheet would have taken that all day before the game. So yeah, I was very content with it by the end.
Yeah, and onto the starting lineup, we had one change. We brought Elise back in. Elise, sorry, I should get used to saying that. Brought Elise in for Aluko. And it was also pointed out before the game, Swansea had the best defensive record in the top four divisions, along with Manchester City, only 12 goals conceded. So was it always going to be difficult to score, Alex, without our kind of main strikers playing?
I mean, it's been difficult over the last few weeks anyway, hasn't it? We haven't exactly been free-flowing football and scoring tons of goals going forwards. I mean, we've had, what, two against Luton, and outside that, it's been kind of a bit of a drab kind of month, really, since probably, what, the Sheffield Wednesday game at the start of December. So, yeah, it was always going to be difficult, I guess, to look to see us score a lot of goals, even though Elise came in. You weren't really thinking that we were going to go on and create masses and masses of chances for open play. And I think that probably kind of bore out in the game, really. Aluko being dropped was maybe a little bit of a surprise. He did play quite well on Boxing Day against Luton, and to see him be the one to drop out was perhaps a little bit surprising, and it wouldn't have shocked me if it had been maybe Ajari to drop out instead, just to kind of give a bit of rotation to the squad. So, but yeah, I think Elise came in and did very well today. And I mean, Sky must have mentioned the fact that he's one of the best players in the Championship probably about 85 times today. So,
and they're right.
They are right. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely good to see him getting the credit he deserves.
Yeah, the other really good news was that Omar Richards was back on the bench. Matt, do you think we missed him?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think even when he came on at the end, it's just reassuring knowing that he's there. You know, McIntyre, he's done a good job at left back, but he's not left back, you know, and you saw it a couple of times in the game when he gets caught out. It's just reassuring knowing that players are coming back, even seeing Swift on the bench again. You know, hopefully he'll be, you know, coming in to start, hopefully. You know, in the coming games, and, you know, we can start to get Zhao back, and we can start, you know, looking at a half decent squad again coming into January, where we can hopefully bring a bit of depth in. You know, it's just knowing that we've got players on the way back, at least, you know, and we've kind of ridden the injury wave while still being around the top six. You know, we finished tonight with 2 points above seventh, you know, and we've still got our best players to come back. So, you know, I think that's been massive. That's been the biggest thing, I think.
And probably pretty far away from where we all thought we would be at the start of the season, Alex.
Oh, certainly, yeah. The expectations, I can't imagine many people had playoffs in mind when Paunovic came in, what, a week, 10 days before the start of the season, playoffs probably quite a long way from people's minds. So it's definitely good to see us up there. And it feels like they are showing that it's not a fluke as well. They're definitely showing that, you know, they do deserve to be in that top six and top six conversation at the very least. And, you know, if they can perform in any kind of way to a slightly higher standard than they have for the last kind of month or so, when we've had these injuries in the next, you know, next 2 or 3 months and put any kind of run together, there's no reason that we couldn't end the season finishing in that top six spot.
Yeah. Onto the game. I mean, there's only so much you can say about a 0-0 draw, but to be fair, there were a fair few chances in the game, most of them from Swansea side. In the first half, I think the main threat was mainly Andre Ayew, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah. You know, he was another one that I think Sky Sports, I think, mentioned every other 10 seconds, quite frankly. But I mean, he's a quality player, you know. His movement in the box, he makes things happen at the end of the day for him, and he did today. He was their main driving force. Whenever the ball came into him, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I was a bit worried, you know, when you've got a player like that, you can make a chance out of nothing. But I think, to be fair, I think the defence contained them all quite well. You know, they had chances, they had shots, but didn't have a huge amount of clear-cut chances. You know, they still only had, you know, a couple of, you know, decent chances that you'd say really, or you'd define. I think all the others were, you know, half chances, and so I think a lot of credit has to be given on that front. But yeah, you know, the main point was to neutralise him and Jamal Lowe as well, because Jamal Lowe coming into it, he's been unbelievable for him, and to be fair, neutralised him very well as well, I thought so.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree on the half chances, Alex. What do you think?
Because there was an
overhead kick. There was a centre half who kind of half volleyed from 6 yards out, where he had pretty much an open goal. There was a couple of headers from Ayew
in the first half. I think perhaps Matt's point is maybe a little bit more valid. They weren't necessarily open goal chances and guaranteed, but yeah, I think they opened us up a little bit more than perhaps you'd want to be like testing the goalkeeper. I mean, I used bicycle kick, what was it, 15 minutes in or so, and yeah, if that had gone in, it would have been a fantastic finish. He got a proper connection on it, and probably quite unfortunate really to have knocked it over. And Guay's chance from the corner, they mentioned it in the commentary around the zonal marking, and there was a lot of reaction straight after on social media around, oh, I don't like zonal marking. Reading have been very good from set pieces generally, I think, defensively this year. I mean, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think we've been relatively solid from set pieces, so I'm not going to worry too much about one chance being given up, but that was probably like a big golden opportunity that they should have taken there.
The chance of the game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we actually had on 19 minutes, we probably had an almost equally as good a chance. It was a cross from Elise and a McIntyre volley. Matt, did you think it was going in?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. But I mean, you just want, if that chance falls to, you know, one of your attacking players, it probably goes in. You know, if that falls to a Zhao or a Mato, that's probably in the back of the net. It's fallen to McIntyre. He's done a very good job with it. It's quite close to the keeper still, yes, but I mean, you know, it's a very, very good chance. But good save, and it's just disappointing, yeah, because I thought it was in. I think most people did, to be fair.
I think one thing to note from that chance is it's really nice to see how inventive we are at set pieces all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All of these, that chance tonight came from a free kick, which was knocked across and then knocked back to Elise before he put it into the box. And it looked like another worked free kick, similar to the goal we scored against Luton on Saturday, on Boxing Day. And it's good to see that there's a bit of invention going on in these set pieces. And it's not just kind of the standard, oh, we're just going to knock it into the box with four players up there and send our centre backs up and hope for the best. There actually seems to be some kind of like plan and idea as to kind of how we're going to attack the ball there.
I think one of the really good things is Sorry, ahead, no, I think one of the really good things as well is how good almost we are getting from set plays as well. I know I think we're one of the I think are we the second best from set piece at the moment. And some of Elise's balls into the box, even tonight, were absolutely stunning, especially towards the end of the game as well. You know, the fact that we've still got this threat, because at the moment, to be fair, they're our best chances from scoring. You know, when we've not got, you know, the likes of, you know, Mate Zhao, Puskas, you know, all the attacking players in the team, realistically, they're our best chances to score. And the fact that, you know, we're continuing to do so well from them, like Alex says, come up with inventive ways as well to play them in, not just straight from set plays, you know, creative stuff. Yes, they might not come off all the time, but it's really, really good to see. And you can see a lot of work's going in on the training ground on that as well, which is, again, really nice to see.
Yeah, and do we think McIntyre's getting a bit of a taste for goal? Because in the second half, I think, again, he was probably the one with the best chance of Reading a header on 83 minutes. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, he had that chance and he had a shot from outside the area as well. What was it, like 5-6 minutes before that, I think?
Yeah.
It definitely seems like he's all of a sudden he's got one and it's there. Now he got a taste for it and he's got to go and get another one as an ASAP. So, I mean, hopefully he does. If you've got, you know, another defender who's able to pop 3-4 goals in a season, that all helps in terms of picking up extra points.
Yeah, I think Michael Morrison is probably the most dangerous defender usually. So if anybody else could pop up, that would be handy. But speaking of the second half, I mean, most of the chances aside from that one was probably on the Swansea side, Matt, again.
Yeah, no, and to be fair, I say, you know, we limited them to a few clear-cut chances. To be fair, I still, in the second half, I did think it was a matter of time until they were going to score. I said it at the time. But I mean, I can only think of a couple of really good chances that they did get, to be fair. You know, like, yes, they had, you know, there was a lot of pressure, but I mean, you know, we were still getting the blocks in. We were still defending really well, which, to be fair, you need to do when you're on the road anyway. You know, you will have to defend like that at times. It's just nice seeing that again, because obviously our defence has been quite lapsical really over the last few weeks and months really. You know, when you look at it, it's just nice seeing that steel coming back into the team like we saw back at the start of the season when, you know, we're almost thinking when are we gonna when is the next goal we're gonna concede? You know, you didn't think we were gonna concede at the start of the season, and it's almost like now you're kind of thinking where's the next error coming from, and it just wasn't really there tonight.
Yeah,
I know two chaps that really like to criticise Raphael. So here's your chance to make amends. Alex, what did you think of Raphael tonight? Man of the match, surely.
Yeah, Raphael was man of the match. And how Lee Hendry's given it to Andre Ayew is a travesty. it doesn't make up for the fact he's made errors, but tonight, absolutely, you know, fantastic performance. And he's won Reading that point tonight. No doubt about it. And if he plays like that every week, we'd be a top six side. Like, I think without a doubt in my mind, I think we'd be a top six side at the end of the season. You know, that was a really, really top performance. And, you know, all credit to him, because he's had a lot of critics over the last few weeks. I count myself in that number. And I think if you're gonna want to silence your critics, you're gonna have to put in performances like that, and that's the best way to shut people like me up, really.
Yeah, and if you think you're a critic, Mr. Lansley, you love a dig at Raphael. What did you think today?
Well, no, I don't like to dig at him. I just point it out when it happens. Like, I can't. I'm not
having that at all, Matt. We've had it before where he's made great saves, and you said the ball's hit straight at him and stuff like that, but. Tonight, he made some great saves, right?
yeah. You know, tonight he really had a very good game. You know, you can't say any other ways. And I think I'll leave my comments on Lee Hendry to one side, as well as a pundit and a commentator anyway. But yeah, how he's not got man of the match there is ridiculous, really. It's unbelievable, because he had, you know, like Alex said, he won us the points. You know, and if he does that, of course, I'd love to see him do that for the rest of the season. Absolutely. You know, we saw him do it on a relatively consistent basis last year. You know, but if he can keep that up, it's just if he can keep it up, you know, hopefully he can, because tonight he was sensational.
Yeah. Another player that sort of caught my eye a little bit was actually John Swift when he came back into the team. He came off the bench, and I thought he added something to the side. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, especially in that last kind of 10 minutes, we looked much more kind of in control, and it, Swift gave us just a different option going forwards, which for the remainder of that second half, we just didn't have. We were very, very much camped on our own box. But once Swift came on, it did look like we were able to kind of bring the ball out a bit. And that a lot of that was down to him kind of controlling the ball in the center of the park and bringing it forwards. And it's really, really good to see him back. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that he'll be able to be kind of back in the first 11 ASAP, because I think he's a creator, isn't he? And that's kind of what we've been maybe not lacking in terms of like creativity, but we've just been lacking someone to play that final ball into a striker's feet.
Yeah, I was going to kind of bring this point up, because we play with Sam Baldock up front, and he has one really good run into the box in behind the defence and back heels it to Semedo. But why aren't we playing to Sam Baldock's strengths, Matt, do you think? Well, why don't we try and do that more often?
I don't know, because it baffles me. It baffles me. I said it during the game. It's like it's fine lumping the ball up top when you've got Zhaotong, when you've got Yak up front, even Puskas, because he's 6 foot plus, you know, or even crossing the balls in, because, you know, it's fine. They've got a chance to win the ball, but punting it long to Baldock, he's not got a chance. The defender doesn't even need to jump, and, you know, the defender's won the ball. You know, he's 6'9", 6'10", whatever he is, and the defender's a 6 foot whatever. Like, he's never going to win balls like that. So why we keep trying to punt it long to him, it's just not going to work. You know, he doesn't even jump half the time, because there's no point, really. You know, but yeah, why we don't probably... I wouldn't say it's not the players on the pitch. I'd almost say it's just... It's a little bit on Baldock, I think, because he's not quite the player he used to be. I said it as well during the game to my mates who I was watching it with. He's just not quite the player he used to be. There's the odd really clever run that you see, but for every really clever run you see two, three that he doesn't make. So I'd almost be inclined to look to start with Aluko up top next game if Zhao and that aren't fit, because I think Aluko, when he's actually come in and played up top, like at Brentford at the weekend as well, he's actually done an okay job, really, when he's come in and played up top. It's a difficult one with him, because he'll run his socks off. He'll run till the cows come home, but it's just not working for him, sadly. So,
yeah, what do we think of Paulo's tactics, Alex? There were some subs, and we ended up obviously with Aluko up front, and he hasn't got a lot of options, does he, at the moment?
No, this is one of the issues with people saying, you know, don't play Baldock and play Melvin Lambert or something. But I just, what's Melvin Lambert going to do? Or what's Onan going to do? Or what is any of these strikers going to do playing up front on their own in what is going to be their first league start or maybe their second league appearance? It's a very difficult kind of role to play when the squad is quite, not weak necessarily, but it's quite injury hit. You're missing Mate, you're missing Swift, I mean Swift's back now, you're missing Richards on the left, you're missing Yeardham on the right. There's a lot of, there's a lack of kind of, I guess, good players is wrong, but like there's a lack of...
senior players, perhaps.
Senior player, thank you, senior players. There's a lack of senior players who are able to kind of pull the ball forwards and create the opportunities for the striker. And if you're putting like a 17, 18 year old striker up there who's not played any league football before, I feel like Pano's kind of just tied himself into his tactics, and then there isn't any real option for him except just to put Baldock up there or play a false nine in with Aluko. But I think it's the same, you get the same result really at the end of the day. So
yeah, also Mado, like we did against Norwich.
Yeah, I don't think any of them really.
That game.
Yeah, I don't really think any of them work necessarily. But that's just kind of what Paulo set himself up for. So we kind of just have to live with it until Zhao or Mate are back, unfortunately, or we go out and sign someone on the 1st of January.
Yeah, and Matt, do we think Ajaria's performances have suffered through the lack of kind of that outlet where he can go and find a striker, a Mate, a Joao?
Yeah, I think it's a contributing factor, but there's there was times today when, I mean, where we had counterattacks, and I was almost thinking as we watched it, I was watching some of the slowest counterattacks I think I'd ever seen, you know, which Ajari needs to get better at. There's no getting around that side of things. He needs to get better at his running at players. You know, he doesn't need to stop every time and try and beat a player five times before he goes past him. Just take him straight on. You know, he's got a turn of pace. You know, he's not the slowest player. Just run at people. You know, which he needs to do. Has he suffered from, you know, the likes of Richards and that being out and not having you know proper striker? Absolutely. Even Swift in the team, because, you know, you saw it at the weekend against Brentford when he comes on Swift, he changes the game. He comes on today and he makes things happen. That's the thing about Swift. He'll get on the ball, he'll dictate the play, he might even come deep. You know, he's a player that I think, you know, a Sam Baldock still might actually do quite well in a team if he's in the team, because he might be able to, you know, find the pass to him. But it's a difficult one with Ajari, because he's having a bit of a rough patch, I think, at the moment, because he's not really doing a lot, really, when he's actually on the pitch, apart from slowing a lot of attacks down, which maybe needs a break from the team, because he's had obviously quite a few back-to-back games. Maybe it will come when players come back. I hope it does. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with him in the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, and contrary to that, if we look for something a bit more sort of positive, one big positive for me is Tom Holmes. I mean, he was keeping Estevez out at right back. He's now come in to fill in for Liam Moore, and he's playing against Jamal Lowe and Andre Ayew, who are a formidable championship strike partnership, Alex. He was probably one of our better players tonight, and he has been throughout the last few games.
Yeah, Tom Holmes has been fantastic at centre-back and left-back and right-back this season. You know, he's really kind of filled in the gaps nicely, and I can imagine that there being a scenario where Reading look to try and tie him down to a longer-term contract in the next kind of few months before the end of this season. I think he's on a deal for another two and a half years until the end of 2022. But I can imagine them wanting to try and tie him down and get him to stay for a longer time. His performances have been really good. They're very consistent, and he's improving as well. That's the good thing. We mentioned it on the Boxing Day edition of the show around the fact that he's just very consistent. He's never going to put in a 9 out of 10 performance, but I mean, it's very rare to see him make a massive mistake as well. So yeah, I've been really impressed with Tom Holmes, and you know, long may it continue that he stays in and around that first 11 at the minute, while we've got injuries at the back.
Do you think he could be a long-term replacement for Michael Morrison, Matt?
It's a good question. I certainly think so. He's not showing anything at the moment that should say otherwise, to be honest. You know, every performance he's putting in, to be fair, at the moment, is very consistent. Does he get out jump for the header in the second half? Possibly. But on the whole, he's had a very, very good game and very, very good season, really. You know, but it's... I think he does, to be honest. You know, I can't really say or see anything where he's not, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
It will be interesting to see long-term which of McIntyre and Holmes ends up maybe playing, not only playing more for Reading, but also which player is going to leave a longer impact at Reading.
I think Holmes. I really think Holmes, to be honest, at the moment.
It'll be interesting to see for sure. Another thing coming up to think about is the transfer window. And I mean, Sky did not fail to mention Michael Elise and his supposed... his supposed release clause, Alex. So do we think there's any truth to that? Or do we think it's the famous Sky sources that are talking? And what do you think of Elise tonight? I mean, he had one sort of counter-attack where he got hacked down, but he potentially held the ball too long. But he also then had a couple of good crosses for McIntyre.
Yeah, set-piece delivery, fantastic once again. His set-piece delivery is easily the best in our squad, and definitely should be on all of our free kicks and corners at the moment.
Even over Swift?
Yes. I mean, maybe not direct free kicks, I guess. I don't really recall seeing many at least direct free kicks yet, so I'm not sure. But certainly for like deliveries into the box, I would probably take Elise over Swift at the moment. in terms of, yeah, his counter attack today was probably his only kind of maybe negative. Should have maybe seen the run from, I think he had Semedo on his right and I want to say Estevez on his left.
Yeah.
Estevez. He definitely should have released the ball. That was a big, big opportunity in the first half. And, you know, we should have done something with that. I think it was 3-on-1 at that point. So that was a little frustrating to see that he didn't have that vision there. But on the subject of the release clause, is it true? Who knows? Sky sources generally just seem to be kind of, you know, the internet nowadays, who are not really, don't really put too much stock into Sky sources anymore. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I really hope it's not, because, you know, it's going to be a travesty if Reading only managed to get £8 million for him, when we all know that, frankly, if he goes anywhere else, he's going to be worth three times as much as that in, you know, the space of him, space of the ink drying on his contract. So I hope not, is the answer.
Yeah, I think Sky Sources said slightly above the £8 million that's been quoted. So if that's £10 million, surely a club will come along and snatch at that, looking at the stats, Matt.
Yeah, I do kind of think isn't it the release clause as well that is in a Football Manager as well? So I think that's someone might have,
Football Manager, yeah.
Yeah, so I think someone might have just seen that and tried to whip up a bit of a media story. Yeah, I can't see it, to be honest. I can't see it being as low as that. And like Alex says, I think even if it's just above, if it's 10 million, it's still ridiculous, really. You know, maybe Reading should try and, you know, time down to 2 or 3 more years, put a release clause in there, whatever they want to put in there. But release clauses are always dangerous fish to be playing with, to be honest, because you can never tell what's going to happen in the future, especially with a young player.
I think one thing with I know everybody wants to, you know, tie players down to long-term deals when they're, you know, playing well and got potential and stuff, but there's not really much benefit to a lease signing with Reading at the minute.
From his point of view, you mean?
From his point of view, yeah. There's not much benefit to him signing with us. I think, what has he got? Is it a year left on his contract after this season?
Yeah, so it's a year and a half now, yeah.
I mean, there's no benefit to him being here after 18 months' time, and we know that. He knows that.
The benefit would be, I suppose, is a hefty pay rise if Reading can convince him.
But that, I mean, outside of that, like, outside of that, we know he's going to get a Premier League move, don't we, in 6 months' time if he wants one. And if he doesn't sign a deal and Reading say, oh, we're not going to sell you, then he knows in a year's time he's going to get an even bigger rise because he's going to be a free agent. So
you say 6 months, Alex. I'm worried about 1 month.
Yeah, well, 1 month is definitely another thing altogether. But I don't think there's any benefit to Elise signing a new deal. Unfortunately for us, there's no way we'll see him here next season. I just can't see a scenario where that happens, unless, you know, God forbid he gets like a terrible injury which puts him out for the rest of the year or something.
And could go some way to sorting out our financial fair play problems.
It could do, definitely. And if selling a lease is going to pay off even a third of the debt which Reading have managed to find themselves in over the last 10 years, then that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, it's not the biggest one, though. If we're in the Premier League, then he'll stay.
Yeah,
I think we'd all wish for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's got to be the number one scenario, right?
Yeah. If you look at where we were at the start of 2020, we're coming up to the end of 2020. I mean, overall, we've got to be looking up, right? We've got to be looking positive. And I think we are in a discussion for a playoff place, Matt, towards the end of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's been one of the refreshing things about this whole year, really, in review, really, because, you know, Mark Bowen came in at the start of the year, obviously. He's steadied the ship, fair play to him, put the foundations in. Obviously, probably got cut off a little bit too early, but Paolo's come in. And yeah, if you'd have said sixth by the end of the year, I would have snapped your hand off. You know, I think any sane Reading fan would have, you know, even with the most optimistic head, I don't think he would have even placed us in the top six, to be honest, you know, at the start of the season. So the fact that we're even contending for it with the injuries we've had to deal with as well, that's it. Massive, massive well done has to be said to, you know, Paunovic and his team, how he's got us competing on a weekly basis, kept us competitive whilst we've had, you know, an unbelievable injury crisis, really, with all of our players gone. It's very good job all round, really.
Yeah, and that brings us on nicely. We have got a 2020 review that we're going to be doing. Matt, you're not invited. Me, I'm not invited. Alex, you're going to be on a 2020 review with Paul and a special guest. Who's going to be on?
I believe it is Mr. Eddie Williams joining us. So
Reading FC skipper. So that's a great lineup right there. Looking forward to that one.
When are we going to listen to that one,
Alex?
It should be out in time for everybody's New Year's party tomorrow night. So
Year's lack of party.
Yep, get that one on you. Get that one on your phone tomorrow night and crack open a beer and join us for New Year. So that'll be one for the New Year's parties, definitely.
Brilliant. Looking forward to that one. Well, thanks very much, gents. And yeah, hopefully you'll all join in and listen to the 2020 review podcast with Alex, Paul and AD Williams. And we'll speak to you guys soon. Have a happy new year.